Welcome back, everyone, to the Risk Intel Podcast, powered by SRA Watchtower, where we share risk intelligence with experts from across the banking industry. I'm your host, Ed Vinson, CEO at SRA Watchtower. Hello, please join me in welcoming back Sean Ryan to the Risk Intel Podcast. Sean brings more than 30 years of experience in financial institutions, financial services providers, and fintech organizations, and has witnessed and possibly even contributed to hidden factories at many stops along the way. Nothing personal there, Sean. Including working inside a local community bank in Rochester up through a top 10 institution in Capital One. Sean, welcome.
Thank you, Ed, and thanks for letting me out of the back office again to speak with you and share some experiences with our clients and prospects.
Great to have you here. All right, the concept of hidden factories, which is what we're going to spend the next several episodes on the podcast talking about, has been around for decades. All right, some of the earliest observations, and this is not exclusive and exhaustive, but some of the earliest observations in the literature on the topic go back to a quality guru, Armand Feigenbaum, the author of Total Quality Control, who observed the hidden factory in full swing during his days at GE in the early 1960s. And Feigenbaum called the hidden factory, quote, that part of your organization that exists to do bad work, not because you want to do bad work, but because the whole process is such that you are driven into it. If Feigenbaum noted that the hidden factory accounts for anywhere from 20 to 40% of an organization's total capacity, which is frankly mind-blowing. In essence, the hidden factory represents undocumented processes that work against quality and efficiency, creating invisible roadblocks to strategic goals while driving up costs. I'm bringing it forward a little bit. In September 1985, there was a Harvard Business Review article titled The Hidden Factory, authored by Stanford professor Jeffrey Miller and INSEAD professor Thomas Vollman. And they wrote about overhead costs and how most operating models focused on allocating these overhead costs rather than explaining them. And they highlight that the bulk of these costs come from transactions or the exchanges of material or information necessary to move production along. Rather than directly resulting in physical output or products, these transactions are responsible for aspects of the finished goods, if you will, that are ultimately consumed. In our case, this finished product is a holistic view into risk at the top of the house, but more on that later. So the authors continue to identify different types of transactions, logistical, balancing, quality, and change transactions, all of which apply equally to Miller and Vollman's manufacturing examples, as well as to the flow of data and information in today's world. The importance of explaining these costs or identifying and understanding them applies to operations within many of the financial institutions that many of our listeners are part of, and specifically within the risk management space where we concentrate our attention at SRA. Even more recently, HBR estimated that $3.1 trillion per year are spent on poor data quality or the hidden data factory, which they define as the, quote, lengthy and expensive process of manually checking over poor data and making corrections to that data. So a lot of theory, a lot of historical context there, Sean, but let's—
Did you need me here today, Ed? I'm just curious.
Let's bring you into the mix now.
Okay, good.
Ready to plug you in here. So let's use this as an opportunity to move from the theory into the practical. Before we get into, though, I think the subsequent conversations, which we'll have about how to uncover hidden factories, what are hidden factories even inside of bank, what risks do they generate, how do you mitigate these risks, and how do you fix them? Let's go back to the beginning, if you will, and let's level set and kind of get this concept out there and get a strong foundation in place and ask you to help us with the fundamental question of what is a hidden factory itself?
Well, sure. Well, and again, thanks, Ed, for letting me join this podcast and talk about this topic. It strikes me I just heard a little ding. I hope my machine doesn't blow up while we're talking. Let's start with the hidden part, right? A hidden factory is the hidden part is any activity that takes place outside of the known process or the the defined processes of the financial institution. So they're hidden, not because of anything nefarious, but because there's always a process, particularly in a bank, which engages in a lot of transactions under a lot of regulatory expectations. And a lot of those transactions take place within a prescribed process, but there's always stuff that takes place outside of that prescribed process. And that's the hidden component. And then factory, you know, I think factory might be a little overly cute. It obviously, as you pointed out, arises from the manufacturing examples that were the basis of this research, you know, 50 plus years ago. But really, everything that takes place in any modern organization is a factory or a manufacturing process of some kind. It may not result in a physical good or output, but it results in some good or output. And in the financial institution, the good or output is some type of financial transaction or financial activity. So everything in business is production. And so the hidden part is outside of the activity, and the factory part is this process, these production activities that take place in any organization. You know, the best example from someone in the finance function, and all of our bankers, and frankly, almost anyone in a corporate setting will get this, is Excel, right? Is a spreadsheet. And you think about all of the process that takes place in a spreadsheet. Other things would be like manual processes, whether, you know, imagine the organization, how frustrated you are with an organization and you learn that they, you know, they still use some outdated technology in their process, like people who want you to fax something, and you're suddenly like, what are you talking about? You want me to fax something that's not nearly as easy or as secure or as efficient as me scanning a document and emailing it to you. And then, you know, I had an example that I thought of when I was thinking about this this podcast today, Ed, about just scrap paper. You know, a lot of us, I have seen your desk, a lot of us take notes on scrap paper, right? And then we rely on that scrap paper in order to move a process or an activity or a deliverable or a task forward sometime at a later time. And I think those are all, you know, those are all kinds of examples of hidden factories that I think of. If I might, the scrap paper example, you mentioned my beginning of my career as a bank teller at the beginning of my career. And I used to keep a piece of paper next to my station. And anytime I got to finish with a transaction and I had like this suspicion that I hadn't quite executed that transaction efficiently, I would just write the transaction number on the scrap piece of paper so that at the end of the day, I might be able to determine where any errors that any unbalanced account might happen from. What I really should have done is just stop the line for a second. Instead, something's uncomfortable here. I'm sure that was the process that I had been trained to do, but I wanted to move the line ahead. I wanted to service the customer, right? So I would just kind of make a note to myself. I'm sure sometimes that means I didn't get it right.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on, there's a few, I'm going to say, themes that underpin that example there. One, that was unplanned, right? So there's the theme of an unplanned inefficiency, which I'm going to say is one characteristic, right, yeah, of a hidden factory, right? You had a situation where something occurred and then you deviated in that moment. It was unplanned.
Right.
The second is there, you know, there's an impact on efficiency because now you are going back. You're going to go back and reopen something instead of solving it in the moment.
Correct.
There's a technology aspect, right? We joke about scraps of paper, right? I have as many napkins with things written on them as I do actually notebooks with things written on them. So it's good news if I get it in the notebooks. It means it's not on the napkin. But right, you talk about Excel. Excel, right, was a technology innovator, and now it has become a bit of a crutch, right? So there's that technology gap there as well, right? So there's a couple of themes there between unplanned inefficiencies, the impact on efficiency, and technology. There's a few other other things you mentioned there as well. Risk, right? So
yeah,
you know, the risk of an undetected issue, right? You've written down now a piece of information there on a piece of paper. Where does that piece of paper get shredded? Does it not, right? What if you know, what if it falls into someone else's hands? What if you transcribe that incorrectly when you're punching it in? So kind of the risk that gets inserted. Because so those are four different kind of themes that came out just from that one example that you talked
Yeah,
about there.
I wrote down a couple of themes or outcomes associated with the hidden factory. There's just plain risk, right? It introduces risk into your system, whatever system or production you're part of. It certainly introduces the potential for error, right? If you're taking something outside of the process and you make a mistake, it's very hard to detect because it's not part of the regular process. So that error occurs outside of a system, and therefore it's hard for someone to detect. There's certainly a delay, right? If I'm going outside of a regular process in order to execute some type of task associated with the regular process, well, I've delayed the regular process in some way in order to get that piece done. And then there's just inconsistency. Like imagine, just in the silly example that I gave you, what if I don't use the same pad of paper tomorrow? And so I have a tough time at the end of the day locating where I've written that down or something like that. So there's a whole bunch of ways in which a hidden factory undermines the output of the process or the factory that's as it operates. And you know that the example that you gave that I should have stopped at that moment, in a lot of modern factories, that's exactly how they work, right? As soon as there's an error detected, boom, the individual on the line can shut it down, and then people group and fix that error. Imagine if we did that inside financial institutions. I know we're going to talk about that in some future episode, but imagine if that activity were there. We just immediately discovered an error, and we just or a mistake, and we shut things down. The other thing that I don't know, what other thoughts you have on hidden factory, but the other thing that happens as a result of hidden factory is a deviation from top of house expectations, right? So you have there's both a cultural and a strategic dimension to the challenges associated with hidden factories, which is very real. If we stand in front of a room every time and talk to our colleagues and say, this is the way we want to do things, but we allow or we look the other way, or we somehow encourage there to be hidden factories within our organization, meaning I tell you to do it this way, but you're actually doing it that way. Well, that undermines the culture of the firm, right? That's not supportive of the behaviors and the values that we're trying to instill in an organization. And so by allowing them to live, you actually undermine much of what drives great organizations, which is the cultural dimension. And of course, then that bleeds into the objectives themselves, right? So if you're undermining your values and you're allowing de facto ad hoc processes to execute on your deliverables, then how certain can you be that you're actually going to achieve the objectives that you set out to achieve? So you have these kind of point in time or in process errors that creep in via a hidden factory, but it also can undermine the very purpose and mission of the organization itself if we allow them to grow and to propagate. And so that they're really in the best interest of an organization to root those out, to instill, to your point, to instill better process, to instill better technology, to try to avoid the opportunities for hidden factories to live within a company.
Sean, I think you're connecting the dots there to culture and strategic alignment, right? That top of the house view is very, very poignant. And I think it brings that whole lit the I'd say list of concepts together. So I think that we'll come back and talk a bit more about what does a hidden factory look like specifically inside a bank? What are the risks associated with those hidden factories, and how can an organization uncover those hidden factories, and then how do they mitigate and resolve those? But I'm just going to recap, if I may, kind
Sure.
of these themes here that we talked about what is a hidden factory. So something that is an unplanned inefficiency, an action that has an impact on efficiency, leads to a communication breakdown, identifies a technology gap, has a risk of undetected issues, an impact on culture, and ultimately, as you said, Sean, can cause a firm to be strategically no longer aligned, which is really kind of the ultimate impediment to a business's success. So, Sean, thank you for sharing those thoughts, those themes. We appreciate it, and we look
Thank
forward to
you.
having you back to talk more about some bank-specific examples.
Glad I could be here. Thanks, Ed.
For more information on SRA, please visit srarisk.com. Watch or listen to our weekly Risk Intel podcast series, or follow us on LinkedIn to learn more.